serving one purpose. God has called you to be a part of the body. And where you are sitting at, you may feel comfortable. But where God placed you is righteous. See, the body is a beautiful thing. God's masterpiece. His best work. He couldn't just create one, but crafted two genuine prototypes. The body is so complex, so sophisticated and convoluted, that we have to put on clothes to cover up all this greatness. The body is able to do many, many great things. Like, we receive blows, but we're able to keep on going. The body can be cut in multiple ways, and it finds a healing process to mold itself back together. The body can reproduce new cells within itself to fight against bacteria and toxins. And it can take poisonous toxins and grow immunity to it and fight against the very thing that was trying to kill it. The body's muscles will break down when pressure is applied to it, but over time, the body will gain strength and be able to get the pressure off of it. The body that you sit in today is able to do many, many great things. And did you know that the body that you're sitting in today was created in the image of God? And through it and with it, it can do all things through Christ who strengthens it. For every human body, there is a beautiful mind. Jesus came to earth and gave his body faithfully for all sinners. But I tell you, you are here because of his beautiful mind. Have you allowed Christ in your mind to govern your body? Go ahead and open your text to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. I hope you guys enjoyed the dramatic sequence I had there about the body, because you guys are a part of the body of Christ. And I want to allude to the importance of the body of Christ, of some of the great things that we're able to do, the great thing that we are a part of. God put it on my heart to give you this simplistic but majestic title for today. It's called Faith Plus Grace Equals Humble Servants. I said again, Faith Plus Grace Equals Humble Servants. Mel presented a great message with topics and ideas of sacrificial living and giving your rights over to God. He preached out of Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. And Mel, thank you for that message. And through that message, we have the message today, Romans 12, 3 through 8. So for today, I have three topics for you guys. Three topics you guys can be searching for. If you're a note taker, here you go. One, the body has many parts, and you are one of them. I'm going to say that again. The body has many parts, arms, legs, head, shoulders, knees and toes, right? Put your right hand in. Yes, you are one of those pieces. The body has many parts, and you are one of them. Point two, even though you're one of them, here's our struggle. We struggle evaluating ourselves through the faith God has given us. Say it again. We struggle evaluating ourselves through the faith God has given us. But here's the good news. Point number three. In his grace, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Amen. All three points were originated and crafted from the exact text. I didn't make up these points. I just looked at the Bible and I said, okay, God, thank you for telling me these three points. So if you guys need to know them, read chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I come to you today, thankful for the chance to be here today, Lord. I'm very thankful to be used. Father, I don't care where you have placed me in the body. I'm just glad to be used. I'm glad to be a part of the body, Lord. A healed body, not a sick body. A loved body, not a hating body. And Father, I pray for the brothers and sisters that sit amongst me today, that they are joining the body. And if they are already joined, Lord, that we just continue to strengthen each other. Thank you for your love and your grace and the faith that you have given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Time to get to work. So, once you have made it to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8, say amen. All right, there's a few of y'all missing. It's all right, though. I got it on the screen for you. Here we go. Because of the, Paul, this is Paul writing to the church. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So that's a lot. It's about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? I had to count on my fingers. 6 verses. It's a lot. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but if you may struggle with reading scripture or maybe you need to break it down a little bit, I got it for you. I'm going to break it down for you. Paul is telling us we must evaluate our pride correctly. It's tough. Ooh, y'all quiet. Evaluate our pride correctly because we are all a part of one body. And our gifts will benefit the house of the Lord. Evaluate our pride correctly because we're a part of one body and our gifts will benefit the house of the Lord. Regarding Paul's epistle to the Romans church, Robert Mount says, Paul was fully aware of the devastating consequences of pride in any group of believers. So he cautioned the Christians at Rome not to think of themselves more highly than they ought. Reminded them that they were all members of the one body, and encouraged them to utilize their individual gifts for the benefit of the entire church. And I'm doing that today. Some of you guys have individual gifts. Some of you are strong. Some of you are really smart. Some of you guys are good at test taking. Some of us are good with our hands. Some of us are givers. Some of us are takers. But you're a part of the body. And God has a gift for you. And that gift, you owe it to the world. And what it's telling us here is that you owe it to the church. Because you are a part of the body. Amen? The body has many parts. And you are one of them. So I want to ask you, kind of an awkward question, but I want to ask you, what part of the body do you identify with? The hand, the foot, the kidney, the buttocks, you know, the rib cage, the elbow, the knee. In youth group, I've been going over We have been going over a theme called Who Are You? And it's focusing on identity, right? And so within the body of Christ, I want you to identify yourself. As in, what body part do you feel that you're in? And think about that piece, that part. And I want you to ask yourself, do you think God will put you there? Do you feel that God has placed you where you think you are placed? Or do you feel like you're more than where you are, where you should be? Or maybe some of us don't give ourselves enough credit. We say, man, I'm not worth it. I shouldn't be a part of the body. And I know it's really weird to think about you being an item in the body, because we know how stinky and nasty these things can get, right? And we're like, man, I wouldn't want to be a part of that. Some of us are the armpits. Sorry, we get clean once a day, right? Well, I want you to know that regardless of where you think you are, Jesus calls you to be a part of the body, his body. Did you know that you are not your own? Do you know that the body that you're in today, you don't own it? It is not yours? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. That's tough to think about. I know I struggled with it. Because some of us think that, man, it's my body, I can do whatever I want, I can tattoo it, pierce it, do whatever I want. It's my body, I want it now. No. See, being a part of the body is like going to go get a rental car. Any of you guys rented a car before, right? It's like God owns all the cars, right? The Holy Spirit is the company you do business with. And of course, you have your own form of pride. I mean, car insurance. And the Holy Spirit offers you this protection plan called the blood of Jesus Christ. And see, here's the catch. You don't get to pick out the car that you drive. You don't get to take it back if you crash it or if you don't like it. Right? You're stuck with this car, stuck with this body, right? I mean, you can clean it up. You can make it look nice. You can put things on the outside. You can make it smell good because we all want to smell good, or we all want our cars to smell good, right? But you can't change the purpose of it. God has developed this car to do certain things, and you can't change that. And when you're driving, right? The cool thing about this car is that when you're driving, sometimes the GPS system will turn on and say, turn left. And it's one of those voices called the Holy Spirit that is talking to you to get off on the right exit. And the car definitely needs gas, but it becomes a hybrid when you talk back to the owner. Sometimes you don't need gas and you have this strength out of nowhere. Pretty sweet deal, right? But let me bring it together. I want you guys to hear me out on this. But sometimes when you have this rental car that is not your own, things get a little tough. And it's not tough because of the car, but it's tough because we sometimes violate the laws and the rules of the street and the roads, and we violate the rules and regulations within the car. Like, we know that cars run off of gas and not liquor, right? We know that the car is not able to be changed, so we tint the windows so people are not able to see what's really on the inside, right? Not allowing anybody to see what's really in our hearts. And sometimes we allow people to be in the driver's seat who should have never been there in the first place. Who's in your driver's seat? Where are you going? That GPS system that you keep hearing that's going off to lead you to deliverance, by time you want to ask God for help, you done passed the exit, you done turned down the GPS system that's telling you exit right or to left, whatever. You get the point. Where are you going? Have you set your own destination in the GPS system when it's telling you that that is a dead end? I know it's tough. But you know what? The greatest thing about this is that protection plan. You done ran some red lights. You done allowed people to drive that car that is not on the protection plan. It's only a one-person protection plan. You done crashed it, and you definitely want a new car. But that protection plan called the blood of Jesus Christ tells you, come on into the shop called church, and we're going to fill you up, and we're going to clean you up. Body of Jesus Christ. Do you guys hear me? Some people say, man, I don't need to go to church to believe in Jesus. You're kind of right. But when your car is about to fall apart, you need to come back to the shop. Right. We have to come back here and join the body. Stop trying to do it on your own. But that is our pride. And that is our ego. We must know our position in the body. And once you figure that out, God calls you to understand the beautiful qualities of that role and to finally carry all the actions out needed to fulfill your role within the body. We must know where we belong and our role because it avoids division. I'm telling you to identify yourself with the position. I'm telling you to identify yourself with the body of Christ so you will not be divided. Knowing who you are in Jesus Christ brings you in community with the body of Christ. Amen? You wonder why so many people are lost. Why so many people have broken relationships. Why our communities are so broken. Why our government is so broken, why our lives are so broken, is because there's division and we don't know who we are. We don't know where we belong. If you were to ask me, Isaiah, why is there division? Why is there separation? I would say because there's a lack of knowing the purpose and a lack of having faith in the process. I don't think y'all heard me. There's a lack of knowing the purpose, right? And the lack of knowing the process to fulfill the purpose. We struggle evaluating ourselves through the faith He has given us. God has given you faith. As humans, we have caps on our abilities. That's just the truth, right? That's something that we can't change. We're made this way. We are limited beings that have to depend on His strength, His wisdom to help us get through our daily struggles. And there's something that is unknown. It's called the future. The Future's unknown. You might think you know. You might have planned it. Okay, I'm going to marry you, baby, at 10 years from now. I love you. You don't know what's going to happen. God might take your life somewhere else. And to understand his faith and his love, we must know his word. We must be united in his word. But we don't understand his word, and we struggle with it. And when we struggle with that, sometimes we allow the world to tell us and dictate what is valuable, what is good, what is righteous, what is worthy, without realizing God's love for that thing. For example, when I was in college, I played football, right? And football became an identity for me. Because at 8 years old, I told my mother, I will make it to the NFL. I promise you that. I told my mother, I will get you out of South Sacramento. No longer would you be here because I'm going to put the weight on my shoulders to get us out of here. So my identity was wrapped up into this sport called football. It forced me, my promise, my word forced me to want to go to a college I knew nothing about called Greenville. And I figured that I'll be at this college for 4 years, right? After my sophomore year, at least I will start. I realized by my junior year when I wasn't starting that the NFL wasn't in God's plans. It just wasn't. I mean, I knew that the physical attributes was stacked up against me, but I had the heart. I followed the process. I did everything I could to make it. I was up at 5 a.m. going to bed at 12. I have faith in the process, right? But when I realized that the results of my process wasn't going to come true, what I planned for the future wasn't going to come true, everything that I have done to that point became empty to me. Because I didn't get what I wanted, because I wasn't going to serve where I wanted in my life, everything became empty to me. My junior year, I went through a stage of depression. And that's something I don't really speak about. But I did some things that caused me to really fall back on my faith. But God snatched me out and he said, you must have faith. See, I was there and the coaches wanted me to leave. My friends and family wanted me to leave. Heck, I wanted to leave. But why did I stay? Because of faith. And I realized what he deemed as good was good for my life. Because I had faith, not in my process anymore after my junior year, but in his process. So what happens when you have faith in his process? I gave my life to Christ while I was in college. When you have faith, you get introduced to ministry. You get introduced to the body because I had faith, not in my process, but in his process. So I stayed for all 4 years. Fortunately, I got to play my senior year. But after 4 years and I graduated, I got my degree. I became a youth pastor. I mean, that might not be for you guys, but what I'm telling you is because I had faith. It takes faith to stay in your marriage. It takes faith to love that child that rebels against you every day. It takes faith to get up out of bed knowing that cancer has been kicking your butt. It takes faith to overcome your past. It takes faith to beat the critics that told you you can't do it. It takes faith. And do you guys know what faith is? Hebrews 11:1 tells us plainly what it is. It says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, in the assurance of what we do not see. You're not going to see what God has planned for you. That's why he tells us, don't plan for anything, just plan for today. Because it is a blessing. You're not going to see it. You don't know how it's going to turn out. But have faith in him. Talk to him. Have hope. And be assured that, Father, when I speak your name, I'm not speaking to air and dust. But I'm speaking to a being that is higher and greater than me. And when I put my faith in you, I know it's going to come true. I'm assured. I have hope in this. This is not me. I'm talking to a higher being, somebody that put me here and that was here way before me. He spoke into dust. Out came man. Said, go to sleep. Out come woman. Do you understand that it is faith? It is hope. It is the assurance that we need to make it through every day. That is the love of God. God is telling us that when we have faith, we can all be a part of the body. You might not see that brother and sister, but you know that they are there. They might struggle in the world. They might have crashed their rental car, but guess what? You're somebody who works well with cars. Go fix them and bring them to Christ. Bring them back to the shop. You're not going to get paid for being a part of the body. You're not going to get a round of applause. You're not going to get fame. Some of your family members might disown you. Some of your friends might leave you. But what I tell you, what I'm telling you today, is that you're going to get joy. You're going to get a peace that you've never experienced before. And most importantly, you're going to get a salvation plan that is non-refundable, non-returnable, because you don't deserve it. But you have it. And so my third point, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Whoo! First we talked about faith, now it's grace. Whoo! I told you, you got this protection plan that you don't deserve. It's called grace. And that is the good news. And so when you hear that word grace, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. What does that mean? First off, I think about who I am, right, as a man. And it confirms that my gift can never be denied when applied correctly. That goes for you as well. Your gift that God has given you can never be denied. Nobody can fire you for your gift. Nobody can eliminate you from your gift. Why? Because when it's applied well to the body of Christ, God says yes, even though man might say no. But because God has made room for you, you belong to the body. Amen? Secondly, in his grace, grace means mercy, forgiveness, cleansing. Grace is something we are all promised by God. It is something that God doesn't pick and choose who to give it to. He gives it to us all, and we do not deserve it. Now that I know that truth, I'm going to share one of the greatest qualities about grace. Now that I know that we all have it, because I am a competitor, and that's one of my downfalls, or that's one of my strengths and my flaws. But it tells me that we don't have to compete against each other, but we can compete with each other. That is amazing, right? Remember in the beginning I said 206 bones, 600 individual muscle pieces, 79 organs, over 500 ligaments and joints, billions on top of billions of cells and neurons running through us every day? Do you understand that each of those pieces work together and not against each other? There's not a division. It's only when the stuff on the outside gets on the inside is when there's division. Ooh. All right, that's too much energy. We ain't gonna get on that topic. Almost went there. All right, the body's united, amen? And you're a part of it. So grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 through 16 says, instead, speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is head. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That is kind of rough. Actually, I was looking on the back wall. So instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We got to get to work, church. We got to get to work. We are the body. We are the salt and the light. I know where you're sitting at, you may feel comfortable. And you probably don't like when other people sit in your place. But what I'm telling you is that we have to get to work. Greatest thing about this verse is that it says Jesus is the head. Christ is the head. That means none of you guys are smart enough to be there, and neither am I. And I know that kind of sucks and it sounds a little negative, but this is the truth. We have to allow Jesus to be our head. Something I found out is that doctors and physicians have done all kinds of surgeries. Heart transplants, lungs, kidneys, all that stuff. But do you know the one transplant that they haven't done yet? The brain. I won't go there. But I will say this. Allow Jesus to give you a new brain. Alrighty, so greatest thing about this verse, Jesus is head. And I know some of us want to feel important and we want to be in an important role in life or in an important piece of the body, but I'm also telling you that God has placed you where you need to be. And if you are not where you need to be, you probably need to talk to him a little bit more. You need to find out where is the perfect place for you to be. Hey, everybody. A foot cannot be a knee. A heart can't be a kidney. A mouth can't be the nose. Ears can't be the eyes. Why? Because of their functions and what God has made them to be. Anthony can't be Isaiah. Kathy can't be Cheryl. Mel can't be Keith. Why? Because who God has made them to be. There is grace for you. You can be who you need to be in this life because there is grace. God understands that you're going to have some violations. You might wreck that rental car. You might not like it. You may ask the Creator for a new one. But it takes grace. And it takes faith for you to understand that within the body of Christ, you are a humbled servant. I don't know where you are at today. I don't know where God has, you know, pulled you in the workplace or where you are in your faith space. But what I'm telling you is that you are a part of this body. Maybe you've been running on E this whole time. Maybe you feel like, God, you're overusing me. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. I'm not going to bed till 1 a.m. My children won't listen to me. I don't want to listen to you. I'm losing my faith. My family is falling apart. I don't know if I can stay in this marriage. I don't know if I can continue fighting another day through this sickness. He is telling you, with the faith he has given you, and with his grace that was shed on the cross, you can be used. Every piece of the body is important. You are important. You are needed. And the gift that you have in your body today will be used for the body of Christ. Don't allow yourself to make excuses for why you can't come back to the shop. Stop making excuses why you are not reading that driver's manual. Think about it. I can't tell you your position in the body or know the purpose that God has called upon your life, but I am able to help you a little bit. Being a part of the body is not a competition. It is not anger or hate. It is not jealousy. It is not being judgmental. But the body is forgiving. It is peaceful. It is disciplined. It is selfless and loving. If you find your position he has called you to, it will be by grace. It will be by faith. And when with those two being put together, you will know that you are part of the body because you are humbled. And that is what Paul was challenging us to be today. It's a humbled body. So in this time, now that I'm closing, you guys can't come up here. But history has shown that many of us do not feel comfortable. So while Rick comes up here and he plays a song, I pray that we all stand together, starting now. We all stand together and we hold the hands as a body. It might feel a little awkward, but there's somebody to your left and your right who is going through something. Pray with that person. Love that person. Be connected to that person. God is calling us to be a body. He's calling us to go out and find that missing family member and bring them to the Lord and rejoice together. Bow your head and join me in prayer. Father, I'm just praying that we are connected. We don't find ourselves being separate, divided, hateful, jealous, angry. But we check our pride. Our pride that might make us do certain things that you wouldn't deem as righteous. You check us where we stand. You check us where we sit. And Lord, you evaluate our hearts. You dive deep into us and allow us to be faithful in you, in your process of building the church, of building the body strong. So Lord, whatever pressure you have on us today, Lord, I'm thanking you for that pressure upon my life. Lord, I'm praying that we are humbled by the pressure that is upon us now, because it's only going to make us stronger. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.